Let's talk about project management in healthcare, because better project management in healthcare results in better care. I am John Rafdiel, and I am a project management professional at the Amsterdam University Medical Center. Find me at www.projectmanagementinhealthcare.org. Leading project management in healthcare. Our healthcare deserves not just any but the best leading project management. Everyone benefits from this. Patients and clients, their environment, the millions of healthcare workers, and society as a whole. Everyone can contribute to this, from healthcare professionals to healthcare administrators. That is the central thought behind my recently published book that I have translated from Dutch to English with the help of ChatGPT and Google Translate, and of which, in this podcast, I am reading out loud chapter 5 and 6. I aim to provide you with practical tools, strategies, and ways of thinking so you can immediately start making healthcare and its organization even better. Chapter 5. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Abraham Lincoln. Introduction. Which techniques are appropriate for which projects depends on multiple factors. It depends, among other things, on the sector, the organization, the type of project, and the project manager. In some sectors, it is common or even mandatory to use certain techniques for specific projects, for example in construction, where various laws and regulations apply. Additionally, some organizations have developed their own project management techniques. Furthermore, different projects require the use of different techniques. For example, cultural change projects require more change management techniques. Lastly, but certainly not least, it is up to the project manager himself to determine which techniques he uses to manage a project. Just like a painter develops his favorite brushes and types of paint over time, every project manager also develops his own set of project management practices. Depending on the situation, he uses the techniques that he deems necessary, that he prefers, and that he believes will have the most impact. Techniques concerning trigger or cause. 5W2H. As a project manager, you determine the true trigger for a project by asking about it, and especially by asking follow-up questions. The 5W2H technique serves as a starting point for this. It involves asking stakeholders questions that begin with who, what, where, when, why, how, and how much. For example, who thinks that the onboarding process requires too much work? What specific burden does the person experience as a result? Where is this happening exactly? Why is it like this? How can it be improved? How much less work should it be? By asking such questions, the true trigger is revealed, and at the same time, information is gathered that can be used to determine the right project goals and results. In addition, listen, summarize, and ask further questions. Do not assume anything, and save judgments, opinions, and advice for later on in the project. The question why now is also of great importance. Interview stakeholders directly using the 5W2H method and inquire specifically about why now. Example questions are, why is it important that the onboarding process now costs less work, given that we have been using the same approach for 10 years? Why is it urgent to address this now, when other procedures can also be done faster? Have there been events that make it urgent to develop a new procedure now? Are there risks of things going wrong in the short term if we do not act quickly? This reminds me of what I once heard a hospital executive state. In the past, we sometimes concealed the true reason behind a project because nobody wants to be reminded of incidents. However, it helps to have a clear understanding of them. In that case, people are much more willing to contribute to projects to prevent incidents in the future. Goals. SMART. The objective of the project concerns the problem you are trying to solve or the opportunity you want to seize. It is not about the project result, as that is something concrete to achieve the project goal. Think again about the example of stop the bleeding, the goal, with a stitch, the result. Once the goal is clear, try to formulate it as precisely as possible. Only then can the goal serve as a benchmark for the right project results. The SMART technique can help with this. The abbreviation SMART stands for specific, measurable, acceptable, realistic, and time-bound. These five criteria form a checklist for your goal. Is it specific? Is it measurable? And so on. For example, you can make a goal like a shorter onboarding process more SMART by specifying it further. The goal of this project is to shorten all phases of the onboarding period for both the person being onboarded and the ones doing the onboarding by 2 days. That is also measurable, for example, by looking at schedules. Whether it is acceptable and realistic can be discussed with the stakeholders in this case, the people doing the onboarding process, and those who have just been onboarded. You can make the goal time-bound by stating that you want to achieve this goal by the end of this year. For most of my projects, I prefer to use a different A in SMART, different than acceptable, namely attractive or ambitious. It is important that a goal is acceptable, but you can also work on acceptance by making the goal more attractive. Moreover, projects can often be ambitious. Sometimes we are too cautious. Results. Product breakdown structure. The beating heart of every project is a project breakdown structure. A project breakdown structure is the breakdown of the end result into sub-results. For example, if a new onboarding process is the result of a project, you need to determine what exactly that process consists of. For example, a description of the steps of the process in a manual, the roles, tasks, and responsibilities of those involved in job descriptions, the software that will support the process, training of employees, etc. This breakdown is essential because it delineates what you are going to achieve in your project. Additionally, it serves as the basis for other things, such as determining the labor time and lead time of the project. After all, each sub-result takes time for design, development, and introduction. Based on this, you can create a plan. A project breakdown structure is also the framework for estimating as accurately as possible what the budget should be and determining who you need. Only by using a product breakdown structure do you know exactly what the project will ultimately deliver. Can you communicate about it clearly, manage expectations, and make agreements about the people, resources, time, and money involved in the project? The project team. Composition. Usually, you don't have the luxury of choosing who participates in the project. You are dependent on who has the time at any given moment, specific knowledge, people with specific roles or functions that should be part of the project team, etc. The fact that the project team does not consist of the most optimal mix of people does not matter in principle. This can largely be compensated by being aware of it, discussing it openly, and actively working on it as a team. One technique to discover and discuss the differences between people is, for example, insights, a DISC profile. With such a personality test, it is possible to determine the personality types within the team. If possible, it is advisable to have people with different personality types participate in the project team. If that is not possible, it already helps to be aware of the fact that the project team is composed in a more one-sided way than desired. As a project manager, I invest not only in individuals, but also in how people work together. I try to promote a sense of group identity, work on the project culture, and openly discuss what goes well and what goes wrong. I see this as an important task of mine as a project manager. It is not always easy, but when things go well, it's worth it. Stakeholders. The stakeholder matrix and the power interest grid. The classic way to identify stakeholders is by using a matrix in which you compare the influence and interest of people in your project. Those who have little influence and little interest in the project only need to be monitored, for it is possible that they may gain influence or interest in the project as it progresses. The other extreme are the people who have a lot of influence on your project and also have a lot of interest in it. With these key figures, you want to have a good relationship and you want to involve them as closely as possible in the project. Once you have an idea of the stakeholders, you can go a step further for the most crucial and involved ones by conducting a power interest grid analysis. You do this by determining how each stakeholder group relates to the project. This can be called their energy profile. Then try to determine how the stakeholders relate to each other and what quality of their relationship is, what the quality of their relationship is. A discussion about such an analysis with others involved in the project might provide clarification, although it can get personal or sensitive. Sometimes you have to accept the situation as it is, but by mapping it out, you gain a better overview and understanding of the dynamics surrounding the project. This understanding can help you get a project started successfully, or in a later stage, get it back on track. Planning. A Gantt chart. The most commonly used technique to obtain and maintain a comprehensive overview of the timeline is a Gantt chart, also known as a bar chart. This chart shows the project phases and activities with horizontal bars indicating when they start and end. Use a Gantt chart when a simple timeline is no longer sufficient because different phases start concurrently and activities take place in parallel. By the way, some people no longer use the term deadline because it sounds so negative. They talk about an intended end date. Investment. The value van. The value van helps answer the why question. This question is central to every project. Why are we doing this project? In other words, what is the ultimate value of this project? The value is not the same as the project result, because that is what is actually produced in a project. For example, an adapted form or new system. The value is also not the project objective that you want to achieve with the project result, for example, a more complete patient intake. Value is about what you aim to achieve with the project objective, for example, time savings by asking patients fewer questions. In project management terms, this is also called the project benefit. Determining the value of a project is important in order to weigh the benefits against the costs and compare them with other projects. The value van encourages looking from different perspectives, as a project is usually valuable to various stakeholders in different ways. First, in a brainstorm session, form an image of for whom the project offers value, asking using the value van. Our model contains examples of various potential stakeholders, more than 100 actually. Finally, determine the main values and, if applicable, determine how they are to be measured. Issues. Logs instead of minutes. Issues are all kinds of different things that result in actions, decisions, risks, changes, or that are dependencies on other projects. You can record issues in minutes, but if they are not required, mandatory, you can also use a issue list or log. Use Excel for this, so that you can also include the action, decision, and risk log on the other tabs. If you maintain this Excel sheet well and provide additional explanations when necessary, it will provide everyone involved with more overview and insight than minutes. Learning more. For those who want to deepen their knowledge of techniques, I recommend the book Game Storming. It contains over 80 different ways of working that help overcome barriers, improve communication, increase insight, and generate new ideas and strategies. You can consult the free website www.gamestorming.com, which includes all the techniques you can find in the book, and probably more. But first, before I continue, let's talk energy. Because being a project manager takes a lot of energy. So I watch my sleep, run, go to the gym, meditate, and eat healthy. And I drink coffee. But much less for the last couple of weeks, while having more energy. Because I drink Magic Mind. It contains many helpful ingredients, and there is so much more science behind it than simply drinking coffee. Check out the book Beyond Coffee by James Bechara, the founder of Magic Mind. Do try it for yourself and see how it benefits you and your projects. You could get it at magicmind.com/projectmanagement. And with our code PMINHC20, you also get 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. Find this information in the show notes. Chapter 6. More Agile Project Management. Intelligence is the ability to adapt to changes. Stephen Hawking. Introduction. Leading project management in healthcare is more agile project management. An agile project manager places more value on people and their interactions, working results, customer collaboration, and responsiveness to change than on processes and tools, comprehensive documentation, contract negotiations, and strict adherence to a plan. This way of working is actually not very special and comes down to what agile experts themselves describe as just doing it normally. This is in line with how we like to interact with each other in healthcare. To practice more agile project management, it is crucial that you understand the agile philosophy well. Once you understand the core idea, you can then use the techniques and methods that work best for you personally and for your organization. By the way, you have already been introduced to agile ideas in this book. This is already reflected in various places in the previous chapters. An agile principle, for example, is simplicity. The art of omission is essential. You also already know some agile techniques. The project canvas and the project portfolio canvas are based on the idea that continuous discussion about a project has more value than documenting a project extensively and putting it in a rigid plan. In healthcare, we like to tackle things. Action is welcome and results count. That is precisely the approach and added value of the agile philosophy. Core values. The foundation of the agile way of working and thinking, as expressed in the Agile Manifesto, are four core values. Individuals and interactions are more important than processes and techniques. Working results are more important than extensive documentation. Customer collaboration is more important than contract negotiation. Responding to change is more important than following a plan. Please note, these core values express a preference, for example, for interaction, And that does not mean that processes and techniques are deemed not important. For example, in a project, it can be useful to follow certain processes and use certain techniques. However, this should not hinder individual creativity and mutual interactions. Both are valuable. But when push comes to shove, abandoning processes and techniques is more useful than neglecting individuals and interactions. The term customer cannot automatically be translated to patient or client in the healthcare sector. Ultimately, healthcare is of course about satisfying the customers of healthcare organizations, but in this context, we refer to the customer of the project. These may be patients or clients, but more often they are others. For example, the healthcare professionals who receive a new registration system. Principles. In addition to the four core values, the basic Agile philosophy consists of 12 principles. I have adapted these slightly for broader application and aimed at project management. 1. The top priority is to satisfy the customer through early and continuous delivery of valuable results. 2. Changes in requirements for the results are welcome, even late in the project. 3. Working results are delivered frequently, within a few weeks to a few months, with preference given to the shortest period of time. 4. The end users and the project team work together daily throughout the project. 5. Projects should be built around motivated individuals. Give them the environment and support they need and trust them to get the job done. The most efficient and effective way to share information about the project is face-to-face conversation. Working results are the primary measure of progress. A constant pace must be maintained in projects. There must be continuous attention to substantive excellence. Simplicity, the art of maximizing the amount of work not done, is essential. The best project results come from self-organizing teams. And finally, number 12, the team regularly reflects on how it can become even more effective and adjust its behavior accordingly. These principles are not laws set in stone. That goes against the very spirit of it. Above all, let yourself be inspired by them. See how these principles translate to your project situation and context. Think about it and feel free to leave it out certain principles if that seems more convenient. In healthcare, for example, principle 4, working together on a daily basis, is usually practically impossible. In concrete terms, this principle is often elaborated by organizing so-called daily stand-ups, where the day starts with a short and powerful standing session. This may be feasible in some cases, but it will usually cause additional workload in healthcare. This becomes even more difficult when the same people are involved in multiple projects. Sometimes the principle of daily collaboration is advocated even further, namely in the form of fully dedicated teams to the project. This is usually impossible in healthcare practice because healthcare professionals are needed at bedside. This does not mean that the entire principle should be jettisoned, because it is and remains a good idea to work closely together on projects. So you would be wise not to look so much at the letter, but mainly at the spirit of these Agile principles, and then experiment to discover what works and what doesn't. It is not necessary for an organization to go completely Agile. You only have to learn about the Agile philosophy to make a difference. If the philosophy comes to life only in the back of your mind, you will already deliver better results faster. In the next podcast, I will introduce three simple-to-use Agile techniques. But remember, the value of Agile lies more in it being a way of thinking and working than a toolbox. That's it for now. Find more information and podcasts at www.projectmanagementinhealthcare.org. Take care and keep your projects healthy.